I'd like you to turn to page. That works if you have my Bible. Psalms 124, please, this morning. Psalms 124. And while you're finding that, I want to welcome a good, dear friend of ours, Galen Dacus, sitting right over here with his friend Anita. For years, Galen would come and give the annual report of the Gideons and the work of the Gideons. He would come up here and share with us. And so, Galen, it's good to see you. It's been a long time, but you'll be glad to know that the work of the Gideons continue through our church as we continue to support that great, great cause for Christ. And so, welcome. Would you just say hello to Galen today, would you? And say thank you. Amen. Amen. And Anita, a pleasure to meet you as well. God bless you. All right, Psalms 124, whatever page that is on your Bibles. 124. I want to read two verses this morning, and then the last three verses of this psalm. David writes these words, Psalms 124, verses 1 and 2. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. Now, David is saying, let Israel say that, because Israel had experienced that. They had gone through problems and trials and struggles, and they were able to say, David says, you ought to be able to say, Israel, if the Lord had not been on our side, and then there's a blank there on what would have happened. If Israel could say that back in this day, how much more can God's people, spiritual Israel, say that today? If God were not on our side, amen? If God were not on our side. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth, referring to verses 3, 4, and 5. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. We have escaped. Had it not been for the Lord that was on our side, we would not have escaped, he says. Israel could say that. You would still be caught in the snare, the trap of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Why? Because the Lord was on our side. That's why we have escaped from the trap the enemy laid. Israel can say that. We can say that. Verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Just a simple little expression. Our help, it comes in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. We just sang about that. In the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from. And so this morning, how many of us sitting in this room today can say the same thing? If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, and then you fill in the blanks. Every one of you have something you could put in that spot, right? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, our family would be whatever, all right? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, personally, I would be whatever. If it were not for the Lord that was on our side, our city, our nation, our church, our community, or whatever that might be right now. Every one of us have a story that we can plug into that blank right there. If the Lord had not been on our side. And how many are glad that God was on your side, right? That God was on your side. That He was there for you when you needed Him. He was there for you when you went through those problems that came. Every one of us have had some problems. And you might have some problems right now, and I'm not talking about the person sitting beside you. All right? Turn to someone and smile and say, you're not my problem. All right? You're not my problem. But every one of us have had problems in our lives. And I want to tell you, as you get older, as you age, and I thank you, Galen, for saying to me this morning that I haven't changed that much. I think we ought all to say that. All right, but when you get up to where some of us are, we have a long look back. And yet, I believe we have even a longer look forward because we have eternity coming. Amen? You that are young, younger, you've had your share of problems too. But when you get up in age, you've got a long look back. And when you turn around, and we shouldn't do this too often, I don't think, but when you turn around and you take the long look back, you can say, boy, had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, we'd have been devastated. Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, we would not have made it. Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, we would have lost something. Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, we would have given up. Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, we would have gone bankrupt. Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, just think what would have happened to us. But thank God He was on our side. Amen. He was on our side when problems came. And how did we handle those problems? Well, like every believer ought to handle problems, we ought to put them in the hands of the Lord. Amen? We ought to put them in the hands of the Lord. Just like we take this prayer sheet every Sunday and we put it in our hands, symbolizing that we are putting these people, that some of them we don't even know, in our hands to pray, and then putting them in God's hands. So if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when problems came, we would have been devastated. But we put our problems in God's hands. We say, here, Lord, my problems are your problems. And how many know God wants it that way, right? The Bible says to cast all of our cares upon Him because He what? He cares for us. So He says, go ahead and put those problems in my hands so that I can help you with those. Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side when problems came, we would have been far different than we are today. Even when we went through very difficult times, even when things happened that we didn't want to happen and things didn't turn out the way we wanted them to turn out, had it not been for the Lord that was on our side, how different we would be today. But God was there. When things went wrong, when we had a plan. All of us have a plan, probably. How all of us have a plan. And who was it? Who's the guy that used to say, I love it when a plan comes together? Was that Papard? Was that his name? What was it? The A-team. You know about that, sweetie? Whoa. All right. Well, now we know. Cheryl's an expert on that. No, I'm kidding. I love it when a plan comes together. How many love it when a plan comes together, right? About half of you. Come on, let's try it again. How many love it when a plan comes together, all right? Everything works out just the way it ought to work out. How many know that it doesn't often do that, right? It doesn't often do that. You know, when you read the story of Thomas Edison and read the story of Henry Ford and read the story of even other, you know, inventors, and how many mistakes they made in order to get to where they achieved something, but they didn't give up. We've all read about Abraham Lincoln and how many times he lost elections before he got elected. So plans don't always come together, but I'll tell you, when things went wrong, not according to what we wanted, but when things went wrong, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, how different life would be today, right? How different life would be today. When we felt surrounded, when we felt like the enemy, verses 3, 4, and 5, when we felt like they would have swallowed us alive, verse 3, that their wrath was kindled against us. The waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. The swollen waters would have gone over our soul. When we were surrounded by those kind of things, David said, Israel, just think, if the Lord had not been on your side, how different things would be. And so even you and I, when we feel surrounded, and you that are younger, let me encourage you, when you feel surrounded, when you feel like things are coming down, you're trying to raise a family, you're trying to make a living, you're trying to make some good decisions, and it seems like you're just surrounded and you don't know what to do, I want to encourage you what those of us who are older have learned, and that is to look up and say, Jesus, be on my side. I put this in your hands. Help me see a way out. And guess what? He's going to help you find that way out. Amen? He's going to help you and strengthen you. Put those things into the hand of the Lord. Now, by experience, I can tell you, it may not always work out the way you're wanting it to, but I believe, as Paul said in Romans 8, all things do work together for good to them that love the Lord, right? All things do work together for good. That's why we have to put Him in the Lord's hands and give Him permission to work those things for our good. Help came to us because the Lord was on our side. Again, Paul seems to echo this same sentiment in Romans 8, verse 31, where he said these simple words, "If God be for us," you finish it. "Who can be against us?" If God is for us, who can be against us? And then it lists all those things that try to be against us. Many of those things that you have gone through, that I have gone through. And yet, if God is for us, who can be against us? Well, a lot of folks, a lot of things, circumstances can be against us. But if God is on our side, we're going to make it through. Praise the Lord. We're going to make it through. And every one of us have a story to tell about those kind of situations. Now, in light of this statement, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been the Lord who was with us, whatever would have happened? Well, Israel could say at this time, but God was with us, and so we are preserved. And so today, you and I can say, if the Lord had not been with us, I wouldn't even be here today. Many of you wouldn't be here today if the Lord were not on your side, but you are here. So we have seen the hand of the Lord. We have seen the hand of God help us. And what the world would call, oh, that was good luck. I don't believe in good luck or bad luck. I don't believe in those things. I believe I'm in God's hands. Amen? And it's not up to a roll of the dice. God is not in heaven. And when you pray about something, He doesn't go, oh, what am I going to do? I'll just flip a coin. Heads, I help them. Tails, I don't. How many know God doesn't do that? Amen? No, when we call on the Lord, He says, I will help you, but I'll do it in my way, the way that is best for you, because God is on our side. So in another psalm, David would say this question, ask this question. In Psalms 116, he would say, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? And then he lists four things that he can do in recognition of the benefits that God has done for him. Now, the benefits in Psalms 116 that he's talking about are the things that he has helped us with, where we say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, this and this and this might have happened. But He was on our side. He did help us. So what do I do? What can I do to say, thank you, Lord? What can I do for all of Your benefits toward me? I trust You're in Psalms 116 now. I want to read verses 12, 13, and 14, if you would. Psalms 116, 12, 13, and 14. What shall I render to the Lord, David writes, for all His benefits toward me? Another way to put this is how the gospel singer and writer who's gone to be with the Lord now, Andre Crouch, said, how can I say thanks for the things that You have done for me? Things so undeserved, and yet You proved to, I can sing it. Thank you, Randy. I can sing it. I can't quote it. But how can I say thanks? What can I do for all of the times that God was on my side, that God was with me, and that He did help me? And He gave an answer and He rescued me. What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? And then he lists them. And a couple of them are repeated, so I'm not counting those. But number one, he said, I will take the cup of salvation. Number two, I will call upon the name of the Lord. Number three, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. And verse 17 is number four. And I will offer to You the sacrifice of thanksgiving. David said, that's what I can do. That's what I can render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me. How can I say thanks? How can I give God the glory? What can I do for the Lord? Now, unfortunately, some people feel like in order to give God back what he's done for you, they feel like they've got to work it out. They've got to be busy. They've got to just do stuff. And so when you do that, then we create an atmosphere where it is works-based. God blessed me, so I'm going to work myself to death for him. Guess what? We don't have to do that. How many know God's help is by grace? Amen? It is by grace. Now, we want to work for the Lord. We want to do things that please the Lord, but he's not asking us to kill ourselves in thanksgiving to him. And, you know, through the years, we've heard of people of taking pilgrimages and other people taking on special tasks because they want to give God thanks for what he's done. And I admire that, and I'm for that, but not if you feel like in your heart of hearts that's the only way you can repay God. Not at all. I've done a lot for my kids as they were little, done a lot for them when they were teenagers. Cheryl and I should say, not just me, but Cheryl and I have done a lot when they were young adults, and we continue to do that now that they're married, and we're doing that, you know, in gratitude for them giving us grandchildren, which are much better behaved than our children were. We're much more thankful for the things that we do than our children were. I'm laughing. You're laughing. Laughter of association. We did a lot for them, but we never did require them to earn that. We appreciated when they said thank you, and they ought to say thank you. Amen? And they were generous in their saying thank you. Kids ought to say thank you. But we never put the shackles of efforts on them. Okay, now I'm doing this for you, but I'm telling you, I'm going to want some favors. I'm going to want you to work this thing out. Never done that. And I hope you don't. Because our kids need to know what grace is about and a gift is all about. Amen? And many times they had to help us pray for the things that they wanted. I remember both Shrina and Eddie came to us. And, you know, this church in 40 years, you've been very good to us. We've not had to work out. Cheryl worked out a secular job to get some insurance for a few years when the church couldn't afford insurance for us. But other than that, we've been able to be full-time in the ministry. And it hasn't always been easy. Our organization has the requirement that the church obligations are met before the pastor receives anything. The church bills have to be paid before we get anything. That's the way we're set up, and I like it that way. I like it that way because that way I can't live like a king and the church is suffering all along. No. And that's a requirement. And so many times through these 40 years, we would pay the church bills and Cheryl and I would have very little. But that was okay. We signed on to that and we agreed to that. And then there's been other times when there's been plenty. There's been enough for the church and enough for us and enough extra to go around. We thank God for that. Amen? But through all of those times, we have taught our children that they can trust the Lord. And so on several different occasions, they would say, Dad, I need this, or Mom, I need this, or I'd like this. And if it was something we could do, we did it. And if not, then we said this. We said, well, let's pray about that. Let's pray about those special shoes that you need. Let's pray about that particular car that you want. Sherina's nodding her head and smiling. She remembers her Ford Escort. Let's pray about that and see what the Lord does. And then we would say this. We would say, and let's pray for the offerings. Because God uses our congregation to meet our needs. We wanted them to know that God supplied the need, but he used the people here to do that. And so we said, let's pray for the offerings, that they will be a little bigger this week so we can do this. It's an odd way to live, but it's the life that we've chosen. And I can tell you this, in 40 years of being here, God has never failed us. Hallelujah. He's never failed us. Never failed us. And so when God met those needs, and he didn't always meet them immediately, Many times we'd say, well, next week's kids, next week, let's believe for next week. And we taught them, but when the answer did come, we would tell them, the Lord did this, kids. The Lord supplied the need. And he used the church folks to do it, but God supplied the need. Hallelujah. And we could have said to them, but had the Lord not been on our side, wow, it could have been different. Amen? I took a little rabbit trail, but that's okay. I'm old and I can do that. What shall I render? What can I do for the Lord for all the blessings that he's given us? For being there on our side. Very quickly, number one, I'll take up the cup of salvation. Isn't it interesting? And this is an interesting study for those who may want to do this. Isn't it interesting that many times the cup of suffering produces the cup of blessing? That's not very popular. People don't like to hear that. And that's not consistent. That's not all the time. Many times a cup of blessing will come without the suffering. But isn't it interesting that sometimes when we have to drink from the cup of suffering, it ends up God gives us also the cup of blessing. Case in point was Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. What were some of his words? Father, let this cup pass from me. What cup was he talking about? What cup? It was the cup of suffering. It was the cup of torment. It was the cup of the cross. Let it pass from me. Many times I've prayed that. Lord, I don't want to go through this. And God, in his mercy, didn't let me go through it. But other times God had said, no, I want you to take that cup and drink from it. I've got a reason for it. And so I did. And yet at the other end of it, Paul in Corinthians says at the communion table, remember his words? He says, the cup of blessing that we partake of, isn't it the cup of Christ? The cup of suffering, which was the cross, produced the cup of blessing, which was the resurrection. Amen. And so many times, and in the Old Testament, I don't exactly know everything about this, but I read the other day, where in the Old Testament, the leader of the home at times would sit his family together, and he would reiterate how good God had been to them as a family. And he would take a cup, and he would fill it with whatever they had, and he would say, family, this is the cup of blessing. This is what God has done for us. And I want everyone in this room to drink from this cup. And he would take the cup of blessing and he would drink it and say, thank you, Lord God Adonai, or whatever. And he would pass it and his wife would take it and their children and their grandchildren and grandma and grandpa. And they would all taste of the cup of blessing to remind them that God had been good to them. Hallelujah. Had been good to them. And David says, how can I render unto the Lord? What shall I give to the Lord for all of his blessings? I will take the cup of salvation. And I think what he's saying here, I'll take whatever cup God brings my way. If it's a cup of suffering, I'll take it. If it's the cup of blessing, I'll take it. But I will take this cup of salvation. And then number two, I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will call on the name of the Lord. Whatever that cup holds. If that cup holds suffering, then I will call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord, let this cup pass from me. And sometimes it will, and sometimes it won't. And if it doesn't, I will call on the name of the Lord and I will say, Lord, help me drink this cup and do your will. If it's the cup of salvation, if it's the cup of blessing, I will call on the name of the Lord and I will say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for your blessings. And just a caution here from an old guy who's been down the road a ways. Don't try to keep a scorecard of cups. Don't keep a scorecard of how many cups have been hard and how many cups have been easy and try to make a comparison that God has been unfair. Don't do that. Because I want to tell you, when it's all said and done and the balance sheet is handed out, I guarantee you, there will be more blessings than there are hard times. Because the greatest blessing in all of this life is not found in this life. It's found in the next. It's eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. Amen. Amen. But don't keep score. Don't keep score. Just like in your marriages, don't keep score. Well, she did this for me, so I'll do that for her. He did this for me, so I'll do this for him. Or he didn't do that for me, so there's no way I'm doing that. We don't keep score in good marriages. Come on, amen? We don't keep score. We don't make a balance sheet. We don't go 50-50. Many, many couples, I've said, if you give 50-50, you will both fall short. But if you will give 75-75, you will overlap. And better yet, both of you give 100% and you'll be crossing over and you'll just, anyway, on and on and on. Another rabbit trail. I'm only allowed 2 per sermon. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Number 3, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. This is our public testimony. This is our public life of living for Jesus. It ought to be one and the same, but all of us really do. We have a private life that we live for Christ, but we also have a public life we live for Christ. And I think they ought to be one. I don't think they ought to be different. I've always said, look, if you're going to serve Jesus on Sunday and not on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you've got it all wrong. We need to serve Jesus 7 days a week. Amen? 24/7, yeah, we've got to serve Jesus. But we have a private time when we can pay our vows to the Lord. And we can just say, thank you, Lord. And I give back to you. I promised you that I would do this, and I'm going to do this with all my heart. But we have a public testimony, too. And that's what David said. I'm going to pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In other words, I think what he was saying is I'm going to not keep it a secret that I follow the Lord God and that God has been good to me. And I think that's what all of us need to do. We need to be ready always, Peter said, to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. Amen? It is that public testimony that, yes, I am a believer. Yes, I follow Jesus Christ. And God has been so good. God has been so good to me. And then fourthly, I'm running out of time. Fourthly, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. To me, what David is saying there, I will just openly give you praise and worship, oh God. I will worship you. I will love you. I will give you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Even when I'm going through a difficult time, I'll do my best to give you thanks, oh God. When times are bad, when times are good, I'm going to give you thanks, oh God. I won't just do it in church, but even throughout the week, I'm going to give you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Because sometimes giving thanks is a sacrifice. It hurts. It's hard. Because we don't feel like doing that. How many times have we felt like we needed to worship the Lord, but we didn't feel like worshiping the Lord? If you worship the Lord and give him praise and thanks based on your feelings, I'll guarantee you the enemy will zero in on your feelings so that you never give him thanks. But when you give thanks to the Lord, when you're not even feeling good, when you're not even feel like God's listening, I'll tell you, it shrinks the bullseye. Amen? It shrinks the bullseye. So David said, this is what I can do. I'll take up the cup of salvation. I'll call on the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. This is what I can do for the Lord, because he is on our side. I don't have time in this service. I may cover it in second service, but I was going to conclude with the story of Ruth. In the first chapter of Ruth, it's such an incredible principle there of this very thing right here. There's the comparison of Orpah and Ruth as Naomi says to them, I have no more sons in my womb, so you might as well go back to your people. And Orpah cried and kissed her and left. But Ruth clung to her, the Bible says, and said, I will not leave you. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I'm going to stick with you because I believe God wants me with you. And go on. The whole Ruth story is an incredible example of if the Lord had not been on our side. I want to tell you, if the Lord had not been on Naomi and Ruth's side, they would have perished. But because the Lord was on their side, he prospered and he blessed them. And Ruth married Boaz, and she ends up in the lineage of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Amen? Because the Lord was on their side. Amen. So let's stand together. Thank you for listening this morning. Thank you for being in the first service of the day. And we just want to pray. Lord, I thank you for each one that is here this morning. Lord, we have several of our folks that are out. Some are not feeling well. Sister Harvey wasn't feeling well today. Touch her, I pray, in Jesus' name. And others are traveling, and help them to have a good journey. And again, Lord, we remember our friends and relatives and even strangers that we don't even know going through the hurricane right now. We, again, want to keep them in our thoughts and prayers this day. And Father, I just thank you that you are on our side. And if nothing else, when we leave today, help those words to ring in our minds, had it not been for the Lord that was on our side. And we can fill in the blanks, but we can say, oh God, but thank you that you were. And not only were, but you are right now. God, you're on our side right now. Whatever someone is going through, whatever they're experiencing right now, you are on their side. You're not against them, but you're for them. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against us? And we thank you for that. Help us to be quick to give you the thanks and the praise, and to, Lord, take that cup of blessing and drink from it deep, knowing that God has been better to us than any of us deserve. We thank you. Help folks to enjoy the rest of this, the Lord's Day, whatever activities they have planned. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we give Jesus a hand today and say thank you, Lord?